This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen. This is The Rundown. And right now, I'm on a little field trip. So I'm here at the infamous Kinzie Street Bridge. It's a pretty chill August morning. It's a little bit cloudy. What happened here on this bridge 20 years ago was, well, I'm gonna just say it. It was disgusting. It was straight up foul. I'm standing on the metal grate of the bridge. I can look down right now and see the river water flowing. If you get nauseous easily, this episode might not be for you. So what's interesting is that as I'm approaching the bridge, I see these different makeshift signage on the bridge. One of these signs says, Kinzie Street Bridge, the unforgettable splashdown. This series of unfortunate events turned into a very Chicago story. And 20 years later, we still can't quite shake the stink off ourselves from it. Now, some people might already know the general thrust of what we're about to get into. Others have no idea what I'm talking about. Either way, welcome in. I hope you enjoy the ride. Today, I'm talking to two people who were tapped in right at the beginning of this story. And one could argue that without them, the story may not have become as nationally infamous as it did. One of them is a man named Brett McNeil. Hi, Brett.
Hey, Erin.
So, August 8th, 2004 was a Sunday. What were you up to that day?
Yeah, it was a Sunday. Well, normally I would have been working.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm going to interrupt right off the bat here because Brett's job is a major key to this story. So we'll save that part for later.
I live with a woman at that time. Her ex-boyfriend was in town from Boston. So I had the day off and we were playing sort of local tourist.
Okay.
And so among the things we decided to do was take an architecture tour of the river.
Quintessential Chicago tourist activity.
100%. Yeah. And we upgraded. You know, it wasn't a Wendella tour. We were going to do the Chicago Architecture Foundation or whatever they're called, Chicago Architecture Center.
Okay, so start from the top. You have arrived at the dock.
Right.
You have boarded the boat. Tell me, how was the boat ride? What happened?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think everybody knows the end of the story, but it was a sold-out trip. Most of those trips are, I think, sold out. We all gathered on the deck. We were sitting on plastic chairs. It was such a beautiful day. Not, I mean, truly like a 9/11 type morning, not a cloud in the sky, blue, blue sky, sunny.
Wow.
So as we, you know, filled in, we got the sort of safety monologue from the captain. And we were warned as we passed under the grated bridges of Chicago not to look up, lest we get a taste of Chicago that no one wanted.
Oh, my God.
So that was the warning. The captain turned us over to a Chicago Architecture Center docent who narrated the main branch as we headed west. So we turned around under the bridge at Michigan. There were kayakers in the water. There was some kind of kayak event like the Chicago Flatwater Classic or something was going on. We passed by them, obviously no wake, you know, chug, chug, chug in this little puttering tub. I remember the docent talking about 333 West Wacker, et cetera. We passed by the Mart, took a right, and then the Kinzie Street Bridge is the next bridge.
Okay, you get to the Kinzie Street Bridge. What is the first sensation? Like, do you smell something first? Do you hear something?
Yeah.
What happens first?
So the river and the bridge meet at a slight angle.
Okay.
I was seated a little more fore on the deck. I was up a little more up front. The people I was with were a little further back. As my seating area approached the bridge, there was what appeared to be water already starting to fall from above. And so what I saw was the beginning of a waterfall.
Okay. So you saw something first.
It was really noisy. It was splatting on the deck. You know, this is like an unbelievable alignment of stars. It could never happen again. It was like a maid of the mist, like a very foul, treacly maid of the mist. And those in the rear of the boat got it full force. My immediate thought was that we were passing under a street sweeper.
Okay.
And that the street sweeper was dumping a lot. It was making noise and dumping water.
Okay.
My next thought, and this, you know, obviously this is happening pretty quickly. My next thought was that it was one of these trucks that you see like watering flower beds.
Okay.
And it had sprung
all
a leak
reasonable.
Somehow and was passing over us. It was clearly liquid, you know.
Yeah.
So the people behind, I think I sat kind of up and to the right. The people behind me to the left are those, as I recall, mm-mm. who got it just square in the face.
Is this your girl and her ex getting the full? Yeah,
that's a terrific question. And I'm sorry to say they avoided it. I wish that I could tell you that they really took it, but they did not. I was the only one who got any.
Like, you're a good boyfriend.
I mean,
you're like,
I
you know, really, not only am I fine with your ex coming to visit us, but yes, y'all two sit together. I'll sit up front. But okay, so you're like, you did feel a little salty about
my,
that.
Aaron, my reward for that was I got hit and they didn't. So they were sort of in the dry. They were in the dry zone. I was on the edge of the wet zone. I had a long sleeve shirt over a T-shirt, and my long sleeve shirt sleeve got wet.
No.
However, people like right next to me and across the aisle from me were soaking wet.
No.
And like pulling this grit out of their hair.
Oh no.
The people in the rear of the boat had a much clearer view of what was happening.
Okay.
So, you know, to foreshadow a little bit here, there were people later saying that looked like a tour bus, that was a black and silver bus. People back at the dock, we're talking about going to try to find these buses.
Wow.
Or this bus. So that really did happen.
Okay.
I couldn't see it.
All right.
So as we passed under, it accelerated. And it was like, and I mean this sincerely, it was like being at Niagara Falls and being on the boat if you get too close. I mean, there was no escaping it. By the way, we didn't have any ponchos.
How are they reacting? Do they know what's there? They can smell
Not
it.
Yet.
Oh, they
well,
don't
know.
Well,
so okay. What happened was there was truly a stunned silence as the boat cleared the bridge. And very quickly, and the docent, you know, he really clearly wanted to continue with the tour. This is his hobby or his avocation, really. He wanted the tour to continue, and he said something like, I believe some water has hit the boat.
Oh.
And a guy in the back,
because he's
yelled,
down in the bottom. He's not on the deck. He doesn't.
No, he was with us.
Oh,
he was there, but he sat toward the front
so
of the deck.
So he didn't see.
And
okay.
And so he saw it, but I don't think either he didn't know exactly what happened or he was not willing to believe his own lying eyes, because he said, I believe some water has hit the boat. Guy in the back says, that's not water, buddy. That's urine. When he finished the word urine, all fucking pandemonium broke out. Then it was like a Monty Python skit from The Meaning of Life. It was a vomitory. There was screaming.
Oh, more fluids.
Fluids. Well, yeah, lots of them. A woman near me turned and said, I had my mouth open. Very quickly, it became a scene of panic. Because what are we going to do? People are stuck sitting in the sun on a boat. What are you going to do? Jump in the river? There's nowhere to go. To their everlasting credit, the crew realized quickly that this was an absolute mess.
Yes.
They didn't have much to work with. All of a sudden, rolls of paper towels are appearing from down below decks, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all, and they're handing them out as fast as they can. And there was like an absolute college football day bum rush for the bathrooms to puke. And it was like just retching. And then there was puke coming off the side of the boat. You could see that. So it was unpleasant. And the architecture tour was at that point abandoned, Aaron.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So the tour was over.
The captain of the boat
who had warned us, she wheeled that little boat around. And I mentioned that we were like puttering along and the kayaks were there, right? And there's a no wake zone. We basically dammed the torpedoes, and we were back at that dock in probably 2 or 3 minutes.
Wow.
And she floored it.
Did you see where other folks in their kayaks, et cetera, were hit by this waterfall?
No, I don't think anybody, no one was under the bridge but us.
Wow, great.
So this was a targeted attack, and they got us.
Oh my God. Wow, so you're back at the dock, you exit. Mm-hmm. The boat.
Well, obviously they had to, we had to wait for the ramp. You know, it's not like you just jump off the boat.
Yeah.
So people are sitting here soaking wet and it stinks.
Mm-mm.
So it's a pretty gross scene. We're waiting to get off. It was fairly orderly. You know, there was some camaraderie. Let's say that.
That's pretty quick for camaraderie. I would have still been cussing.
People were getting angry, but who was there to be angry at? You know,
that was actually physically there. Yeah.
So my little group, we got off the boat. I was the one who had any of this porta potty juice on me. I definitely wanted to get clean. We walked over to the Billy Goat Tavern. I washed up in the men's room, and then I called the city desk.
Because you happen to be a Chicago Tribune reporter.
I happen to be not just a tourist and a witness, but a Tribune reporter at the time. I said, look, I was on a tour boat. Something dumped its toilets on us. I think it was a bus. That's really all I had. I then heard like that word go around the desk, and then they just laughed at me. I could hear the laughter from everybody in the newsroom laughing at me.
Okay.
And then, which of course that made sense. And then I was directed to go back and run quotes at the boat. And I was like, okay, fine. So I walked back over, and one of the deckhands was standing there, you know, hosing off the deck. And I said, hey, he recognized me. I said, I'm not just a passenger. I'm also a Chicago Tribune reporter. And he looked at me and he said, sucks to be me.
Okay. So Angela Rosa O'Toole, this is where you come in. Tell me your side of the story. This was 20 years ago. You were just Angela Rosa at this point, right?
I was just Angela Rosa. I was a new reporter at the Tribune, been there about a year.
Okay. Oh, you were mm-hmm. that new. All right.
And, you know, as Brett said, we had to work weekend shifts when you're new. For many years, I worked the Sunday shift. My memory of that day was that it was a beloved editor, Bill Rood, who was working the desk that day. Just a wonderful guy. He's since passed away. But in my memory, and it could be completely apocryphal, but in my memory, it was Bill Rood, because I can see Bill holding the phone and he looks around. We would all sit in this one central area. Because if you worked a Sunday, it was just a few of you.
Okay.
And you had to do everything that was happening that day.
Gotcha.
But it was Bill who answered the phone in my memory. And he talks to Brett. I didn't know it was Brett, but he holds the phone and he looks around the room and he says, Brett McNeil just got shat upon on a tour boat. Who wants it? And I immediately
immediately you raised your hand. Why?
Absolutely. You know, Brett and I had been friends by that point for about a year. And you know, we had our ups and downs even as friends. And it just seemed right that I would take this phone call.
This punchline story. Thank you.
But I mean, you know, Brett and I gave each other a lot of great ribbing. We worked together on the desk. And so then you pick up the phone because you could, you know, it was a shared phone line. You know, it's Brett and he tells me what's happened. And I'm just like, oh, you know, this is ridiculous. And I'm trying not to laugh, or maybe I am laughing openly at him on the phone.
It was either not or definitely.
You were laughing.
I'm sure I was. But I'm taking notes of what he's saying. But, you know, as a Tribune reporter, particularly in these days, you couldn't just report based on what Brett said.
Mm.
So
that's right.
You do all the things that you would normally do is to check a story. So, and you have to remember, we had to use a bunch of words that it appeared to be and mm-hmm. seemed
right.
Right,
because there was not also a microbiologist on
Thank
the
you.
On
so
the boat.
It
That's
smelled
correct.
Like poop, and it tasted like urine, I'm guessing. But we had to be really careful about how we wrote the story because there was nobody official. And mm-hmm. and we call Chicago police, and they're just like, well, doesn't sound criminal, but we'll look into it maybe. And so we're talking to the captain, and they're just, you know, describing all these things. So everything about that first day story, first of all, we don't know who it is. We're not even sure it's a tour bus. So we wrote things like, this deluge happened. People reported seeing what appeared to be buses rolling over. Like, we had to piece it all together. And that first day is, like, very descriptive based on Brett and his friends. Experiences, he gets the co-byline because he's got the tip, he's got
yeah,
the whole
sure.
thing, he's working the thing, and he's giving me this information. It's my byline with his. But one key thing, we have no idea that it's the Dave Matthews Band.
That's right. That's correct.
That would not roll out for a while. Like, it took days. First, the story comes out, and everyone's like, oh, this is horrible, and they're, you know, complaints are filed, and then, like, Lisa Madigan was the attorney general at
right.
the time, so she gets involved, and because now people start talking about, like, you know, the city had been trying to get the river clean, and this is, like, the early 2000s, right, and they're trying to bring businesses back, so the river that you see today with all the restaurants and all that,
yeah,
this is nascent, because it used to be horrible mm-hmm. and smelly and all the things we know, and they'd really cleaned up the river, so the city and the state are immediately on this
right.
as a crime against, you know,
the brand that they have been trying
brand.
To create, yeah.
So in the days to come, I go back to my job in the suburbs covering crime and whatever else in the suburbs, and city reporters take this up, including, like, the environmental reporter is on it, the city hall reporter is on it. You've got Richard Daley holding press conferences saying that this is terrible and these people need to be found. You have the attorney general's office looking into this, and they are going, like, block by block, pulling videotape
wow.
from closed circuit, grainy 2004 TV to try and figure this out. And early on, somebody got a license plate for the bus.
Yes.
And they trace it back to a driver for the Dave Matthews Band. And the city reporters call him up, and he's just like, nope, I was parked on blank Chicago Avenue. You know, it's true that Dave Matthews Band had been in town for a tour, and they'd come from here and there, and they had multiple buses. And he's just swearing up and down, wasn't me. In fact, I'm looking at the tank right here, and it's full. And I found, I had.
Wait.
Yeah, this guy's
this
like.
Is days later, he's like, it's still full.
No, I think it might have been like the day after,
oh, the
two
day
days
after.
After.
Okay. All right.
They figured out pretty quickly the license plate. And this guy's like, he's in, like, Effingham or something. And he's like, no, everything is cool. And it's not us. And the Dave Matthews Band just starts issuing press releases and things like that. Like,
okay.
Couldn't be us, wasn't us, didn't do it. But the days would come, and the video would come, and there was a video.
I think it was Madigan. My memory is that Madigan's office developed that video.
I think you're right. And they, like, air it, because this mm-hmm. is already coming hard down on the Dave Matthews Band, and they are still farming on the whole
so
thing.
So this is on the TV news.
Like
this,
it's like the Zapruder film.
At a press conference and showed the video of the, not of the dumping. I don't think they could catch that. But I'm just like the bus and like the 15 minutes that it could only be this bus. It was the Zapruder tape. It was like grassy knoll, whole thing. And eventually the guy fessed up. He got criminally charged. It took them a while. It took them like a month before they fessed up.
My whole question upon hearing about this, and I deliberately did not read a lot of y'all's reporting so that I could have real time reactions here. But like, do we know he deliberately said to himself, we are now crossing a bridge.
Sure.
Now is a time to pour and empty our toilets.
Angela mentioned that at this time, the river was still something of a working river in a way that it isn't. It's certainly on the north side anymore. And it was a dumping ground. I mean, you still get this in your heavy rains when the deep tunnel system's overwhelmed. You get sewage in the Chicago River.
Yeah.
If you were a bus driver and you were in Chicago or Cook County, I mean, you might have to leave the county to find a dumping station for your toilets, and you would pay someone to do that. So if you were looking to cut costs, I have no idea what the margins are on tour bus operations for the Dave Matthews Band in 2004, but let's just say you're looking to make money where you can. When you pass over a graded bridge on this sewer river, you absolutely, in these buses, can remotely dump the toilets. So this was early on a Sunday morning after whatever party went down the night before at Soldier Field with these guys. Presumably, very little traffic on the river at that time, and he just happened to fuck up.
Ooh, and it makes you wonder how many times before and probably after this has happened and has gone under the radar.
I think that's a great, because if this guy from out of town knew to do this was a common practice.
Yeah.
There's just no other way to conceive of this activity.
Are you a Dave Matthews Band fan, Brett, or were you at that time?
I think that's a really important question, Aaron. absolutely not.
No way.
Truly death to jam bands.
All right.
For real. I'm more of a touch and go records, you know, Steve Albini listener, the late great Steve Albini, and it, you know, that I intersected in any way with the Dave Matthews Man is really like just the musical fates toying with me,
and
to be like connected to them forever.
Forever. 20 years later, we're still talking about this.
I never attended one of their jam band concerts at Soldier Field.
I think you would have preferred to literally have it all rain down on you and soaked your face than to go to a concert by the Dave Matthews Band.
Fair enough. I think that's fair. Right, because listen, I was done with this quickly.
Ugh.
You know what? I will say he's subsequently involved with Farm Aid. Anybody from the Midwest cares about Farm Aid. God bless him for that. Dave Matthews Band Incorporated, you know, they hired a contractor. They didn't do this.
Right,
they didn't do this. But we only care about it because this sort of C-list music personality is involved. Maybe B-list.
Okay.
I sometimes wonder if you had not been on the boat.
There's no story.
Presumably, most of the people on these boats are going to be tourists and, you know, some Chicagoans. So they get
shat upon.
And then, you know, they're handing out, like, you know, towels and things like that. They're telling people, you know, maybe we could do your dry cleaning, stuff like that.
Right.
The boat's not going to maybe not necessarily going to call the police about this. You know, maybe it could have totally gone under the radar. But they had the bad luck of hitting a boat tour and the really bad luck of Brett McNeil.
Right. Johnny on the spot. Right.
Johnny on the spot.
And having the wherewithal to recognize this as a story, call the desk, and it went off from there. I mean, it could have just gone into the
It could have been a one-day story, absent the Dave Matthews Band sort of turbocharging effect.
Yes.
Sure.
And this was easy political hay for the Daley administration, you know.
Yeah.
Who would rather not talk about privatizing Midway Airport or the Skyway or, you know. You know what I'm just saying? You know, this was an absolute chip shot. The story, to be associated with it is both fun and really, really dumb.
Yeah. So, right. So you're like a part of this historical moment in the city, which involves poop.
I was trying to analogize it. What else is this? It's a part of Chicago folklore at this time. I mean, I'm not going to say it's Mrs. O'Leary's cow, but it's close. You know, people know this story. Totally stupid. Very harmless.
And so Chicago.
Chicago in every way, including the lower tier celebrity. This was Dave Matthews' band, not David Bowie. You know, we got the number two guy.
Which, again, is so third coast of us.
It's a third coast, you know, for the win here.
Oh, my God. Why do you think the story endures? There is just such a child in all of us that no matter how old we get, we still enjoy saying the word poop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's to me, that's number one. Every time this story comes up for me, I mean, I take such joy in pulling one of the most significant, dumbest stories I have ever written. Mm-hmm. I have talked more about this story in my life than covering Hurricane Katrina, than covering crime, than being a political editor. None of those things compare to having written this original story with Brett McNeil. I talked on Canadian mm-hmm. radio, somehow found me last year on the 19th anniversary. The segment was 8 minutes long. I have never been on any segment for 8 minutes long, besides this one, which is now the longest segment I've ever done about anything in my career, and it's about poop. I mean, there's that. There's just people love poop. I mean, am I leaving anything out, Brett?
Right. The scatological nature of this is the hook. Dave Matthews is like the accelerant. But this is a completely harmless story. Okay, there are a lot of really ugly Chicago stories that we all know and that are hallmarks of the city's history. This is one that I think everybody feels free to share and laugh at in its sort of lighthearted idiocy. Mm-hmm. No passengers that I know of were harmed in the making of this film. even the woman who had her mouth open.
Big thanks, Brett McNeil, former reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He's now an investigator at the Northern District of Indiana Federal Community Defenders. Brett, thank you so much.
Aaron, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
And Angela Rosa O'Toole, she's a senior editor of Government and Politics Now at WBEZ. Angela, thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
And that's it for today. Justin Bull and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Big thanks to Brett and Angela for going down memory lane with us. And thank you to our former producer, Sarah Stark, for pitching this story. Thanks to the Chicago Sun-Times reporter, Mitch Dudek, and WBEZ digital producer, Sophie Hernandez-Simeonidis. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks, and The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago. It's a part of the NPR network. If you loved this episode, go ahead, press the share button, send it to a homie. And you can always email us with your thoughts, questions, and what you want to hear on the show. You can email therundownpod@wbez.org. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you so much for listening. Be careful out there in those tour boats. Maybe don't look up. I'll talk to you on Friday. Oh, here's another one. I survived Dave Matthews Band's Poopgate. Is that what we're calling it? Poopgate?